Hi everybody, welcome to our webinar for what is PEPPOL and why is it spreading around the world. My name is Osman and today we will be talking about what is PEPPOL and the details of PEPPOL, Open PEPPOL organization, how does it work, and several topics we will be covering yet. My name is Osman and I'm account manager at SNI. Today we have a guest speaker from Open PEPPOL Secretary General, Mr. Andre Hodevic. And our CCO, Rıdvan Yiğit. So Andre, shall we start with you for a brief introduction?
Yes, please. My name is Andre Hodevic. I'm the elected Secretary General of Open PEPPOL. I'm also head of a department in the Norwegian Agency for Public and Financial Management, where I'm responsible for digital transformation in public procurement processes in the country of Norway.
Thank you. And Budman, shall we continue with you?
Thank you, Osman. Hello, everybody. This is Rıdvan Yiğit. I'm managing partner and CCO at SNI. Mainly, I'm working for more than 15 years on the e-invoicing and e-tax reporting tax technologies solutions, and I have a technical background for 5 or 6 years. Then now I'm fully focused on the tax technology side again. So today we will discuss about the PEPPOL, effect of PEPPOL in the e-invoicing world. So Osman, that's all from my side.
Thank you, Rıdvan. So as you mentioned, we will be covering the details of PEPPOL, and for his speech, I would like to give microphone to Andre Hodevic. And Andre, now you may have my screens removed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Osman. Going through PEPPOL, I will start a little bit on the history and start introducing what is Open PEPPOL and what is PEPPOL and what's the difference. And the main approach to this is that Open PEPPOL is who we are. So Open PEPPOL is the organization behind PEPPOL. So PEPPOL is what we do. And I hope that separation makes it easy to understand the difference. So when I'm referring to Open PEPPOL, I'm referring to the organization, but when I'm referring to PEPPOL, it's about the PEPPOL network and the specifications, business interoperability specifications that we are handling. Open PEPPOL as an organization was established back in 2012 following a large-scale pilot project that was co-funded by the European Union, the European Commission, and a consortium of 18 different government entities from 11 EU and EEA countries. Approach for the PEPPOL project, this large-scale pilot project, was to enable e-invoicing, but also in the wider context to enable cross-border public procurement. The association was set up and still are a not-for-profit association. It's democratic with the election of members in all key positions. It's member driven and member led, and it's an international association incorporated in Belgium. And today we started out in 2012 with five funding members. Now we have more than 450 public and private sector members coming from 39 different countries. So the purpose of what we are doing and what PEPPOL is about is to integrate business processes by standardizing the way information is structured and exchanged. So we use PEPPOL as the name of the network and the business interoperability specifications, often referred to as PEPPOL BIS, and that these are part of a wider and comprehensive PEPPOL interoperability framework, which also includes legal agreements and governance and compliance measures for how to do transactions and how to interact over the network through use of the business interoperability specifications. Looking at the different stakeholders and who we are there for, we represent and have in our membership also everything from our type of users of the end users of the PEPL network. They are the ones that are sending and receiving the business transactions. We have a majority, currently at least, of our members are service providers. They are the ones that actually enable the exchange of the business transactions. And then we have a smaller group, but still a very important group. These are the PEPL authorities, and these are government bodies that drive PEPL adoption and often regulate use of e-invoicing and even points directly to PEPL in some cases. And are the market enablers and the market regulators in some cases. Currently, PEPL covers three service domains, actually two service domains, and then in on top of the PEPL network. First domain is then post-award procurement, which handles the processes from use of product catalogs to ordering, to dispatch advices and so on, and ends up with the e-invoicing, which is the prime topic also for today's presentation. We also have a service domain on pre-award procurement, primarily linked to implementation of the European public procurement directives, and that supports the process for entering into an agreement. We are also working on other service domains, and one of them is logistics. And I think the continuous transaction controls is also a topic I will touch briefly upon, but that's about also how to handle the flow and give possibility for real-time or close to real-time reporting or clearance models for tax administrations in the e-invoice flow from invoice issuers to recipients. We are built on, and we are building on a four-corner model. So if we are to describe the PEPL network, is we are the four corners is the supplier that signs up with a service provider and that in order to handle their business transactions with the recipient or the trading partner, which and the point here, and an important issue in the advantage in the four corner model is that the supplier and sender and receiver, they choose their service providers independently of each other. Then what we standardize in the PEPL network is the to keep an overview over who are in the network and what receive capabilities they have or capabilities to receive different document types, different message business messages, and the technical address for actually being able to receive the documents. So it's what's in the middle here under the standardized headline. That's the core of the PEPL network. Then the link to this system used by the sender and the recipient is that can also be PEPL based, but it doesn't need to. And here this is a powerful mechanism for organizations with legacy systems to get connected and interact with others without necessarily changing their backend system or their own legacy systems. Looking at some of the strengths and the advantages of the PEPL approach is that, as I mentioned, it's an open four-corner model. It has low barriers to entry, both for new service providers that want to provide and offer their services to end users, but also a very low threshold for end users to just buy access to a PEPL enabled service and then get started. They don't need to go into cumbersome and long processes for onboarding their suppliers. As long as they are, because the probability that they are already in the network is growing over time. So this means that there is an open market for service providers, and that they can provide choice to end users, and the risk of lock-in from an end user perspective is reduced. And the cost of being part of the PEPL network for the service providers is relatively low, and there is no roaming charges between the service providers. So there is no financial transactions caused by the being part of the PEPL network between the service providers. If you look and compare to the mobile phone network, there is roaming is an important factor in the relationship between the different providers. But in the PEPL network, the only income the service providers have is from their own customers and not from the network participants. This means also that the PEPL approach facilitates interoperability both within and between national jurisdictions. The original idea behind PEPL was to build bridges between national jurisdictions, so across borders. But we soon realized that it is equally important also to build bridges between different sectors and also domestic requirements. So that has been a driver. It enables business efficiencies both for the end users in having easy access to a market where they can trade with their business partners, but it also is a more efficient way for service providers to offer their services. So the PEPL interoperability framework that is built based on the work we have done now for nearly 13 years consists of a governance framework where you have the agreements, where you have a set of operational procedures, internal regulations, and at the very top, the statutes steering the Open PEPL Association. So this is what sets the governance for the network and for the participants in it, and give them roles in maintaining everything, including the architectural framework, which consists of the network and the business interoperability specifications, as well as service level and the PEPL authority specific requirements. There is a huge focus in the PEPL network and the PEPL approach on uniformity between the different implementations in different jurisdictions throughout the world. But we also need to cater for and enable support for national legal requirements and business practices. So there are room, even if the network as such and the business interoperability specifications are focusing on being creating an even playing field between all participants, there are room for the authorities, federal authorities, to also set national and specific requirements within the boundaries of the interoperability framework, of course. And we see the main focus of the PEPL network and where we have most of our success stories today is on e-invoicing, but we are seeing an increasing range of business documents also being that have been introduced and are being used increasingly in many countries. And even if we started out with a focus on public procurement, we are seeing that the increase in use of the PEPL network comes as much from business to business use as from business to government. And if we look at the PEPL adoption and the membership today, we see that the adoption is mainly driven by the certified service, PEPL certified service providers, but also from the governments, from PEPL authorities. And we have activity, PEPL activity, so either membership or service providers, certified service providers in 39 countries. We have approximately or in the bit above 400,000 end users, and these are organizations, so recipients of documents. If we also count the issuers of documents, the senders of documents, the number would be higher. But this is the number of recipients that are registered in the network globally today. We don't have built-in statistics reporting yet. We are about to get that included. But from the countries that that have reporting mechanisms, we see that we had more than 150 million transactions over the network last year, and we expect this to grow grow much also in the future. What we're seeing now is that we have PEPL members in Europe, North America, South America, Mexico, Africa, Asia, and Oceania. 457 members in total, and out of those, 310 are certified service providers, and 15 are PEPL authorities in three continents. Looking at the world map, you will see the distribution here, and it all we started out from a European perspective, and you see that we have quite good coverage in Europe. And the first PEPL authority that joined outside of Europe was Singapore. And they joined in 2018 and went live early 2019. And then in 2019, New Zealand and Australia also joined. We have seen a steady growth in Europe also, but we are seeing that in 2020, around half of the growth came outside Europe. The countries that have PEPPOL authorities are listed here. It's worth taking a closer look at who they are, because you can read quite a lot of it out of the names here. In Australia, it's the Taxation Office, ATO, and they have a role to facilitate e-business in Australia as such. So they have a wider mandate in Australia than just collecting taxes. And if you look at New Zealand, it's the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, and they have engaged with PEPPOL in order to establish a national infrastructure for business document exchange between trading partners. And we see some of the other PEPPOL authorities, they come either from the procurement side, so representing the original stakeholders of PEPPOL dealing with public procurement. But we are seeing an increasing number of also IT authorities and the ones responsible for ICT development in countries. And last but not least, also ministries, as we pointed out in New Zealand, that have a holistic responsibility for enabling more efficient business to business and business to government transactions and interoperability in their countries. When we look at the growth, it started a bit slow, but we see that over the years we have had a steady growth. We in the early years we had growth targets for both on membership and on income. That was around was 30%. The last few years, we have had a 20% growth ambition, and we have reached that in income increase every year or membership fees. But due to last year was extraordinary, so we I think we landed on 18% growth in membership and didn't quite reach the 20. But given the special circumstances we all deal under in COVID year 2020, we are happy with that development as well. Looking at the adoption of PEPPOL in Europe, we see a country like Italy. They have a national format, and the way Italy has mandated use of e-invoicing is focused on reducing the tax gap. So they have set up a centralized solution, the SDI, and but this also allows for PEPPOL to as an input format. But we can also see a country like Italy have also mandated use of PEPPOL order formats in healthcare, and there you can follow the real-time activity reporting that Agid has put in place on this link. Italy was among the first countries that mandated use of PEPPOL ordering, but we are seeing also other countries now. Sweden has done the same, and we are expecting a similar development in Denmark and Norway. And we know there are also initiative on this in Germany. So So the ordering part and go that goes then beyond just the invoicing is a growth element and an area for growth for PEPPOL. France, they accept PEPPOL invoice. They are not a PEPPOL authority yet, but they accept PEPPOL invoices to Chorus Pro, the centralized invoicing platform, trading platforms for public sector in France. And they have also announced and are in the middle of progressing on establishing a tax reporting slash centralized or an approach to do clearance on invoices or reporting on invoices, referred to as a CTC initiative from our side, that will be implemented in the upcoming years. We see that the big country, other big company, Germany, the development is being driven by the November 2020 deadline for mandatory invoicing to public bodies. And as I mentioned, we see an upcoming initiative there also on ordering. Otherwise, we see that in countries like Norway, where I come from myself, we have use of PEPPOL based e-invoicing is the fastest growing in the B2B market, and we have a coverage of around 85% of all invoicing to public sector going through the PEPPOL network. Croatia is an example of a country that has mandated use of the PEPPOL e-invoicing format, but without so far being a PEPPOL authority. We're also seeing some developments in more eastern parts of Norway, where the first exchange of PEPPOL messages between Ukraine and Poland took place a few months ago under the EU for digital e-invoicing pilot. Looking beyond Europe, we see that PEPPOL authorities has been established in Singapore, which was the first, as I mentioned, Australia and New Zealand. We see a country like Canada now being an observer member of Open PEPPOL as part of their approach to establish a recommendation on setting up a framework for e-invoicing and business transactions in Canada. A bit further south in the United States, the Federal Reserve Bank is the taken the initiative to establish a business payments coalition, which they are supporting. And the work is there ongoing to establish a US framework for e-invoicing. They have done a systematic work over years where they have assessed different technologies, different specification standards to be used. And they are currently under the Business Payment Coalition running a work group that will come up with recommendations on requirements for the governance of standards and specifications and the framework that will be used for e-invoicing. So we are hoping that after the summer this year that there will be a recommendation on how to move things forward on establishing a framework for e-invoicing in the US. And PEPPOL is among the frameworks that they are assessing in this and comparing to other approaches in this work. Japan announced in December 2020 an intention to adopt PEPPOL as a basis for Japanese standard on e-invoicing. And they are doing this as part of a process towards mandating use of e-invoicing from 2023. There we are present in a project with European with the Japanese authorities and Japanese e-invoicing service providers and looking reviewing Japanese business requirements towards use of potential use then of PEPPOL for e-invoicing, and the work is progressing well, and we have not found any showstoppers from either Japanese or PEPPOL side in moving forward. Plan is to have this this work done by June this year. As part of austerity messages, the Australia last autumn announced mandatory e-invoicing, which will be mandatory PEPPOL-based e-invoicing for government from 2023. We are seeing countries like Saudi Arabia and also Slovak government considering or using PEPPOL-based billing as basis for e-invoicing, and that could be also seen in a wider tax reporting concept. We have an ongoing dialogue with several Asian countries outside of Singapore, such as Malaysia, Philippines, and this is done also as part of Singapore's efforts towards the neighboring countries in the in ASEAN countries. So, but what we have seen is that the slowing down of decision making has been biggest in the ASEAN countries caused by COVID. So what we look at, what are our key developments to support further global adaptation? And that is we have established a PEPPOL international invoice because the PEPPOL BIS billing 3.0 is based on the European standard for e-invoicing, the EN 16931. As such, in this invoice standard, the European VAT requirements has been hard-coded into the standard. And of course, this is a good thing in Europe and countries that that utilize or deal with Europe a lot. But outside Europe, this means that the business rules for handling indirect taxes needs to be altered. They are not based on European VAT directives. So, the PEPPOL international invoice has the possibility to accommodate different national regimes for indirect taxation, VAT, and it's based on and but on the PEPPOL BIS billing 3.0, but allows then the users to replace the European VAT rules with their national VAT, national or regional VAT rules. Another project that we see as a key enabler for global adaptation is the PEPPOL continuous transaction controls. This is a model that supports delegated clearance and/or indirect tax reporting models. It's in development. We have spent nearly a year now on discussing with the tax administrations, service providers, and other stakeholders what the requirements are and how ideal CTC solution would look like, and use this as background for now designing an architecture for extending the PEPL network to also enable reporting and inclusion of tax administrations. It's all built on the PEPL specifications and the PEPL network, but it allows also flexibility for the tax administrations to use national variants and national other reporting other network mechanisms. But our main recommendation is to stay as close to the PEPL specifications and use of the network as possible, because you will then not only enable tax reporting to the tax administrations, but also facilitate the business-to-business transactions between the issuers of invoices and the recipients. Many countries that seems to have a high penetration of e-invoicing today, they actually have a high penetration of e-invoicing based reporting to the tax administration, and not necessarily complete transaction flows from the issuer of the invoice into the recipient of the invoice and the machine-to-machine handling. In some of the Latin American countries that scores high on e-invoicing, there is not necessarily support for actually sending the handling the entire flow from issuing the invoice to receiving it and processing it in the business or ERP systems of the trading partners. But the reporting and the closing of the tax gap has been successful, but there is still much to gain in also enabling smoother transaction flows between senders and recipients of invoices. We also see countries that have a need for a network for other purposes than just use of procurement and tax related issues, and in the current work on the PEPL interoperability framework, we are enabling this. And that's particular countries we have seen in the Nordics, but also the interest outside the Nordics to utilize the PEPL network for more than just procurement related transactions. Logistics messaging is an interesting point that we also see that can be linked closely to the procurement related parts of PEPL, and it's an area where that have similar message structures and through use of UBL messages that as we have in the PEPL network. So that's fruitful, seems to be a fruitful area for further growth as well. So this was quite a lot of information. I hope it was useful information. I'm available for questions, but I leave it back to you, Marlon.
Thank you so much, Andre, for your speech. If you have any questions, please kindly raise your questions from Q&A part. And before I jump into, is there anything else you would like to add up, Andre or Rıdvan?
No, it's fine.
Okay, if not, I'll continue then. So just before we pass to Q&A part, I would like to give information about who we are. So as SNI, we are SAP sub-developer company, which was providing solution since 2006, located in Istanbul, Turkey. And we are providing solutions more than 30 countries with a big majority of multinational companies. And also as SNI, we are PePol certified access point 2. And these are the SNI solutions used worldwide, like across to Europe. So for the questions and answer part, we have a question from Niraj Patel. What is PePol CTC delegated clearance? Would you like to answer, Andrea?
I just realized I needed to unmute again. Could you be kind enough to repeat the question, Osman?
Sure. What is PePol CTC delegated clearance?
Okay, this is the model that we are proposing in the CTC project, where we allow for the service providers to do the clearance of an invoice without and then just send the results of this to the tax administration rather than sending the invoice through the tax administration. So in some contexts, it's referred to, this is the model being used in Mexico, where there is a number of service providers that operates on behalf of the tax administration. So they collect the information in the invoice before sending it to the recipient. So the advantage of this approach is that you don't create a single point of failure. If that could be the case if you run all transactions through a single point, like what is the model established in Italy, for instance. So to have the delegated clearance model is also is a model that enables the tax administrations to collect the information, but without interfering in the transaction flow between the invoice issuer and recipient.
Thank you, Andre. And another question from Steven Verstrappen. Regarding the PePol international invoice, possible to accommodate national regimes for indirect taxation VAT. Does this mean that the retrieval of the tax rate will go automatically?
Well, what we are doing and what we are seeking to support is the ability for tax administrations in one jurisdiction to establish the business rules and to so that you can have validation of the VAT parts of the invoice, similar to what you have on the PepleBiz billing in Europe, but then according to national requirements and rules, that means that it will check according to what is the national tax rates and so on, but whether it will be what will be done automatically and will be is up to the system solution the end user are using. I think this is our enablement here is to allow for doing validation against the national rule tax indirect tax rules.
Thank you. And another question from Tarn George. Other than Germany X-Rechnung and Italfatura PA, does the PePol authority define and support file formats for other European countries, specifically for SAP integration?
Well, there are the PePol BIS, the PePol BIS billing 3.0 is the the PEPPOL common denominator, so to speak. It's also possible to use the PEPPOL network to transport other invoice formats, but that's on top of and in addition to having the ability to support receipt of PEPPOL BIS. When it comes to the syntax being used, PEPPOL BIS billing is primarily focused on use of UBL and the and ISO IEC 1984-5 syntax. We, in order to comply with the European directive on e-invoicing and public procurement, we also provide support for cross-industry invoice for those that require that, but also for all other business messages such as ordering and catalogs and so on, it's the UBL syntax that is being used. What we are seeing is that SAP integration and we. The possibility to handle PEPPOL BIS billing, if it's not already a standard feature of SAP, that is something I have been told is on its way. I'm not up to date on whether it's already there or whether it's in the pipeline.
Thank you, Andre. And another question from Dietrich Nygaard. For which industries are logistics messaging currently in development?
This is, for the time being, a Scandinavian-driven initiative, and it's for air freight from in Denmark. I think, and we also are having discussions with the Norwegian oil and gas industry. But it's important to underline that logistics is in an early incubation stage when it comes to being used in the PEPPOL network, and we are still seeing looking into how to roll this out and the steps needed in order to potentially roll this out in the entire network. So even if we have some of the interested parties at the current stage to represent certain industries, we do not foresee this to be industry specific, but rather more widespread. But as I said, it's still early days. So more information to follow on this.
Thank you for your answer, Andre. And from Niraj Patel, service providers has to send invoice to the tax authorities before forwarding to buyer.
Well, in the distributed or in the delegated clearance model, the service provider collects certain information elements or copies the entire invoice that's dependent on the tax authority's requirements, and then sends the invoice to the recipient through the network. So you don't have to do the clearance with the tax administration in advance. The service provider is actually doing that on behalf of the tax administration. This, of course, requires a certification of the service providers to do that work, and they need to live up to the standards of the tax that tax administration is setting for doing such services on their behalf. So, but it follows from the name then delegation. So that is done through a certification slash contract with the service providers.
Thank you, Andre. And other questions from Carolyn Karlberger. If one already have the services from another supplier to send invoices, why would one change to PayPal? Are the services provided from PayPal any different from InExchange, for example?
Well, it's important to underline that that PayPal ourselves are not a service provider. We do not offer services to end users. The premises for the question is not really correct, but the typical situation is that if you are a customer with an exchange, they are also a PayPal access point. This means that you, through your being a customer of an exchange, will also be able to reach recipients outside in exchange's own network, but you can reach everyone that is connected to the PayPal network if the in exchange service is enabled for doing that. So it's an important feature of the four corner model that you are not forced to change service provider. If your service provider chooses to connect to the PayPal network and provide a PayPal enabled service, then you remain with your already existing service provider, but we have a much further reach through PayPal than the service provider's own network.
Thank you, Andre. Another question is from Jürgen Jeffer. Some countries require the receipt of the original invoice format. If, as customer, I receive UBL, how do I know I have received the original invoice as issued by supplier and archived as such by supplier?
Yes, there are some countries that have this requirement and that don't allow for any transformation of the invoice from end to end. But these are legal requirements in those countries, and they apply also for the issuer of invoices. So, I'm not expert on these use cases. I know that it has been discussion in Sweden that at least used to have these rules, and I can't say exactly how they solved it, but since they have mandated use of PayPal invoicing, I assume that they did solve it. I'm sorry, that was not a very good answer, but we need to come back to you on the details there, I think. But it could be worth checking yourself if how this is handled in a country like Sweden that have also mandated use of PayPal towards the public sector. And I know they had this requirement originally.
Thank you, Andre. And other question is from Jane Breinberg. We have seen service providers accepting files with fields which is not part of the standard structured format. Do OpenPayPal have a policy regarding this issue? If a service provider send a file through the PayPal network with fields which are not defined in the PayPal standards?
This is potentially it's a bigger question, but the main rules is that in the PayPal network, it is the issuer, the sender of an invoice in the PayPal network, so and also then their their service provider, the access point, that are responsible for sending a valid PEPL document. And we provide validation tools for those to do the validation. And we are, the main rule is that that you need to send a PEPL compliant document on the network. Currently, these validation tools, they issue warnings to issuers that that include more fields, so something that could be in conformance but not compliant with the BIS requirements. And if today they can the issuer can choose to send these. So, but our approach is to avoid having these variants of the invoices being sent. So the policy is to support compliant documents only. And this is a topic that we will we have seen over time that that not all service providers are fulfilling these this policy, and it's an area where we are currently going into more discussion on how to monitor and to police, but I prefer monitoring better that that the issuer is not sending. And one of the things we are considering is to not just issue warnings towards deviating use of the standards, but to label them as fatal, so that they can't then you're not allowed to send send them into the network. So this is one of the strengths of the governance structure of the PEPL network, that we can set these policies and also we have tools to actually monitor that they are compliant. But this is a sorry, Bjarne, if I didn't capture all the nuances of your question, but this is it's a good, very good question, and we are strengthening our monitoring of this phenomena as we speak, more or less.
Thank you, Andre. We are already running out of time. I think we have a couple of more questions, but I'm afraid we don't have further time. Therefore, before we close, you, Andre, or Rudvan, is there anything you would like to add up just before closing? And for further questions, if you want, you can contact to us and we will be providing the questions and answer later on.
I thank you for the opportunity to present PEPL and to answer these questions. And as you hear, I answered live and without possibility to prepare for the questions. So I hope I have answered correctly and that provided you with useful information. But if you are left with further questions after hearing my answers, feel free to contact us. So, but thank you very much for the opportunity and for everyone that has participated.
Thank you for your contributions, Andre. Rudvan, anything else from your end?
No. Thank you very much, Andre, for your time and for all the useful informations.
Thank you to SNI for organizing this webinar.
Thank you all, and to the participants, thank you all for your time, for joining our webinar. Wish you all a great day. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.